Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram caiva narottamam.
Naram caiva narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jayam mudiraya.
Tato jayam mudiraya.
Nasta prayesu avadresu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama sloke. Bhakti bhavati naistike. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 12, entitled Creation of the Kumaras and Others. tanme bro vidura vacha sabai biswa sridam iso
sabai biswa sridam iso
vedadin mukato srija
vedadin mukato srija
yad yad yena srija devas tanme bruhi tapodhana vidura vacha sabai biswa srijam iso vedadin mukato srija yad yad yena srija devas tanme bruhi tapodhana. What meanings? Vidura vacha. Vidura said, Saha, he, Brahma, by certainly, Vishwa,
the universe,
Srijam,
of those who
created,
is Saha,
the controller,
Vedadin,
the Vedas, etc.
Mukataha,
from the mouth,
Astrijad,
established,
Yad,
death,
Yad,
which,
Yena,
by which,
Astrijad,
created,
Devaha,
the God,
Tat,
death,
May,
unto me,
Bruhi,
please explain,
Tapaha
Dhana, O says whose only wealth is. The translation is by English, Srila Prabhupada, is the Banana Swami Prabhupada. Vidura said, O great says, whose only wealth is penance, kindly explain to me how and with whose help Brahma established the Vedic knowledge which emanated from his mouth. So you can repeat after me. Vidura said, O great says, whose only wealth is penance,
kindly explain to me
how and with whose help
Brahma
established the Vedic knowledge,
who is emanated from his mouth.
Vidura said, O great sage, whose only wealth is penance, kindly explain to me how and with whose help Brahma established the Vedic knowledge, who is emanated from his mouth. So there is no purport, explanation. So, this is a dialogue between Maitreya Muni. Now, Muni means Rishi. Rishi means great sage, saintly person. They are called Munis in Sanskrit language. And Vidura. Vidura is also a great devotee of Krishna, the Lord. So it is like the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. You see. So the transmission of spiritual knowledge is based on a dialogue that the disciple must have a great desire, see, to inquire about the nature of the absolute knowledge, about the nature of the absolute truth. He must have great longing to understand the ultimate secrets of the devotional life and everything. He must have a genuine desire to understand these things. And then when that desire is somehow planted in the heart of the individual, then he comes forward, with great open-mindedness and the complete submission and humbleness, to come. And then he places all those questions before the spiritual master, before the master. Not that you behave in such a way that something very arrogant or something, you know, which is not very, the atmosphere is not very, you know, conducive for spiritual transmission of this knowledge. So just this is why this Vidura is a great devotee of the Lord, and the Maitreya Muni is like the dialogue between the two, is like this talking between the spiritual master and the disciple. So Vidura is inquiring. He wanted to know so many things, you know, about life, about the devotional life, about creation, about the whole cosmic manifestation. It's like, you know, a good student is like that. Like, you know, even in the normal or day-to-day mundane classes, the good students, generally, they are more inquisitive, and they want to know more about, you know, things. Not just, their brain is not dull or lazy or just, very inactive. It's not like that. So similarly, in the transcendental science also, a man or a disciple, you know, who is going to be very sincere, going to be very wanting to understand about the secrets of devotional life, he should be very inquisitive. You know, he should be always wanting to know. He should be always ready to ask questions, you know, from the advanced devotees. So that way, you know, you can understand it. When the dialogue is created like that, then you can receive the message of the transcendental science. So this is a great art and also a great discipline that one has to develop, this type of desire in the hearts of the, you know, disciple, and then he should be able to, you know, put the questions before the master, and the master will give the answer. So that has, you know, it is a great science, you know, it's a spiritual science that comes. You know, the exchange of these feelings come from heart to heart. So that is why in matters of you know, spiritual science, it is not just a mechanical process, but it is a deep, you know, personal feeling between the master and the disciple. That way you can understand the real import of life and also the real purpose of devotional life. So here in this particular instance, Vidura is asking from Maitreya Muni, and he says, "O gracious, whose only wealth is penance." And the penance, see, the qualities of saintly personalities is that they are very austere. So he's saying that the only treasure is the penance, you know. They are, you know, it looked like that, but it's natural to them. See, it, to a mundaner or to a karmi, let's say, you know, the saintly people, you know, who dress very simply and live in a very simple place, and under the tree or, you know, whatever, even, you know, just a piece of cloth. But, you know, that look very austere. Even, you know, let's say, like even now in India, you know, even in the foothill of the Himalayas, there are great, great yogis. And it look like to a mundaner, look like it's a hard life, a very hardship. You know, they can stand the snow and all kinds of, you know, physical discomfort that you might assume like that, but to them, it is not a discomfort. No, it is a discipline. And in fact, rather they get pleasure just out of it. So he's saying that the treasure, the wealth of the sages is, you know, this penance, you know, this quality of having this penance, you know, great austerity, great self-discipline, you know. So from this we can understand that these are the qualities of the saintly people, the saintly personalities. You know, not that, you know, you just try to, you know, always worry about the physical comfort, you know, who's gonna give me nice things or this and that. It's not like that. That's not the quality of saintly people. Of course, sometimes, you know, by the, you know, great desire of the disciples, you know, his followers, you know, they can adore him, you know, they can, you know, give him any, you know, the nicest things in the world. But, you know, he doesn't demand those things. But that is just exchange of love, and, you know, this feeling. You can give so many nice things to the master, but the master never asks, you know, giving these, you know, this and that. But just out of love, you know, he can do like that. But in principle, you know, their quality is this penance. It's always, you know, austere, you know, always self-controlled, always self-discipline, and like that, all the good qualities of a noble man. So that is the quality of the saintly people. So Maitreya has that quality. So Vidura is addressing him like that. So he wanted to know how Brahma, you know, established the Vedic knowledge. See, in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, it is described how this Vedic knowledge was coming forward. See, by the mercy of, see, he wanted to, see, Brahma was meditating on the lotus feet of Vishnu, and so Vishnu revealed to his heart, to Brahma's heart, Hideye, Hideye Adi Kapachana. See, the knowledge is given to the heart of the disciple. So when Brahma was meditating about how to create, because he was given this responsibility to create, but at the same time he didn't know how to do about it. So he had to meditate on the lotus feet of Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Vishnu inspires him in his heart. So that is why the knowledge came out. It's from the heart. That is why this is called, it is something like inspiration. Even in mundane, you know, scholarship, it happens sometimes. You see, great discoveries, like scientific discoveries, you know, so many things. You know, this happened, you know, by some inspiration. If you have some study about science, and you find that there are great scientists, you know, who are inspired like that. So this also even applies even to the mundane scholarship, what you talk about in the spiritual scholarship. So that is why this great message about the Vedic literatures has been revealed to Brahma. And so, like, of course, you know, you say, elaborate, you know, you can speak, you know, hours and hours, days, you know, on that topic. But at least that is how the knowledge has been, you know, given to Brahma. And so Brahma, so he's, by the mercy of Vishnu, you know, he was able to, you know, see things properly and, you know, do things properly. So that's the principle in spiritual science. You have to submit to the master, you have to submit to the saintly people and inquire from him, you know, submissively, you know, with all humbleness. You know. The quality of humbleness is such a rare property of the individual that at the same time, the highest quality of a noble man is how to become humble, how to be, you know, a very submissive person. So when you take that role, you know, nothing can go wrong. Nothing in the world, whatever it may be, even among the karmis, whatever, you know, wherever you are, you know, nothing can go wrong, because that is the most rare quality of a noble man. Of course, you know, sometimes if the other person is a demon, I mean, he may not know. But at the same time, you know, it is such a good quality. Even in dealing with the demons, sometimes, you know, if you take a little submissive role, I mean, they might even please him. Just like in the case of, the great example is the, you know, when Vasudeva married Devaki, you know, Kamsa, you know, his brother-in-law, Kamsa, and he was so, you know, demoniac in his quality. So when, you know, when they were just after finishing the marriage ceremony, you know, they were going to the, you know, house of the, you know, of Vasudeva's house, and then, you know, heard some, you know, some sound from the, you know, from the sky, you know, predicting that the eighth child of your this marriage will kill you, Kamsa. So Kamsa was immediately furious, you know, such a demoniac quality, and he wanted to kill his sister, his own sister, you know, just right there. He wanted to kill. You know, you see in India, you know, these things are, you may not know this and you may not have any experience, but you know, in India, especially when you get married, you know, there's a great ceremony, and then they are taken in the chariots or in the elephants, you know, with you know, a great jubilation, a great ceremonial functions, and and something happened like that is very, very inauspicious, you know, like you know, trying to kill, you know, like that. So it is a very good omen. You know. So in order to take care of that situation, you know, Vasudeva, although he knew that Kamsa was a demon, but he had to take the role of being humble. You know, he was, you know, so diplomatic, and so he was praising Kamsa while he was the greatest king, and you know. So at the same time, this is your daughter, your sister. So it is not the quality, you know, of the kingly people, you know, to, you know, just give such a trouble to the innocent ladies. But at the same time, said, I'll give you all the children, whatever is coming out, you know, this is born, you know, from this marriage, I'll give you, and I'll keep my promise. So you don't have to worry anything about that. But, you know, at the same time, your name is so famous. So why becoming, just by doing a silly act, why your name will become infamy in your name? So in other words, he was trying to take some type of little humble and a little, submissive, role, just to save the situation, just to save his wife and the sister of Kansa. So like that. So the point is that, when you take that type of role, you see, this is a wonderful quality of a noble man. So especially in devotional life, in the principle of devotional life, bhakti yoga, and one must, without this, we can't go anywhere. We can proceed to the devotional life. So this is the foundation. This is the basis of our Krishna conscious background. So that is why, sometimes, you may be asked to do this or that. And so the mentality is that I should always be able to take whatever, engagement, whatever, requests come to me. I just take it, even without even asking. But sometimes my mind is not ready, or sometimes my feeling is not, oriented that way, then I may have so many counter proposals. Oh, Prabhu, I don't like this. Oh, no, I don't want that. This and that. All kinds of just proposals and counter proposals. That's not very conducive for devotional life. So especially, when one becomes very serious, so these things come, of course, as a natural process. You'll be wanting it, please give me, please engage me, please do it. I'll do whatever you give me. Clean the floor or clean the bathroom, clean the kitchen or anything. Just give me, let me do something, please, please engage me. So that when you have that mentality, you see in devotional life you increase more and more, and you get more and more nectar, and then so much unlimited mercy is coming to you, and so your life becomes always joyful, always jubilant, and always in ecstasy. So like that. So this is some of the secrets of devotional life, advancement in consciousness. Acceptance, but if you feel that you are forced, then that means the understanding is not very clear. But at the beginning, that is why Krishna consciousness sometimes is hard at the beginning, because sometimes you feel that I used to be independent, so independent, I used to do whatever I want, but now I come to this moment, I am some kind of a pressure from all directions, and I have no independence, and I'm like a little robot. So, but that's not true. I'd say at the beginning, it's like a pot, just like when there's a clay, in a clay, you can mold, the clay in such a way that it could be, it make the nicest pot can be made. So similarly, this is like a stage where our character is molded in such a way that you become the greatest personality on earth, you become the greatest devotee of the Lord, so that you become the purest personality, most wonderful personality. So in order to do that, at least this is a training and molding properly is required. So you should take it in that spirit, and so that I want to purify myself and I want to be free from all these material entanglements. So that you should feel that when someone is questioning you, Prabhu, please do this. Please. So when some senior devotees instruct you, you should feel that, I have been brainwashed, I have been in the pressure from all directions, and now I don't want it. It's not like that. So it will be a voluntary acceptance and a willingness, and even in spite of maybe some physical inconvenience at the beginning, because once you begin to accept that, then you advance so much in your Krishna consciousness, and you get so much nectar, and so you'll be able to appreciate as time passes. So that is why Krishna consciousness, sometimes Prabhupada told us that it is like a little poison at the beginning, Krishna consciousness, coming to Krishna consciousness. But in the beginning, it becomes the most wonderful nectar. But it looks like a little poison in the beginning. It's like a little medicine. Sometimes, you know, when you're sick, you don't mind to take a certain very bitter medicine. But, you know, once you take that, then your disease will be cured. Just like that. And so similarly in Krishna consciousness, at the beginning it may be a little, you know, difficult. But you see, as time passes, and as you understand more and more about the science of devotional life, so you will become, you know, fully joyful. That's why the nature of this soul is Satchit Ananda. This is the quality of the living entity, you know, the individual person, Satchit Ananda. The Lord Ananda means it'd be always eternally joyful, it'd be always unlimited happiness all the time. Not that for 5 days, 10 days, or 20 days. It's not like that. It's eternal, unlimited pleasure, unlimited happiness. That is the nature of this living entity, Satchit Ananda. So that happiness you can only achieve when you are in the path of devotional life, this bhakti yoga. So this Krishna consciousness, you see, you take it seriously and you'll find, and whenever you have some questions, you have some misunderstanding, don't hesitate to, you know, talk to, you know, the ones who are already, you know, have already in the process. And so, you know, just keep an open mind and just always be willing to, you know, to talk, you know, to discuss and to inquire and to, you know, associate. So like that, and that way we can learn each other more and more. And so we should also do that here. So it's a nice instruction that so by reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, so reading Srimad Bhagavatam, coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class is not an ordinary thing, you know. Just by following so these examples we can apply in our own life. We can use these things as a guidelines, as informations, so that you can actually take these things, these principles, and apply it in your own life, in your own, you know, day-to-day living, and even in devotional life. That way, you know, you're always in touch with the saintly people, with the spiritual masters, with the saintly personalities. So that is actually the secret of being free from all these attachments and maya. You know, maya means, you know, these worldly matters. It's called maya. You know, they are very temporary, but at the same time, they are the, it's called sometimes illusory energy or external energy of the Supreme Lord. And you don't want to be entangled with this, you know, this worldly matters anymore. So we want to be free from all these worldly problems. So in order to do that, we must engage ourselves in devotional life, but among the, with the association of the devotees. So that is actually, in a nutshell, the principle of Krishna consciousness. And you'll find, you know, once we develop the right frame of mind and the right mentality, and then you'll find that the spiritual, you know, knowledge will actually be coming, you know, within the heart, just like Brahma was, you know, empowered, you know, with the spiritual knowledge by mercy of Vishnu. Similarly, by the mercy of the spiritual master, by the mercy of Krishna, this knowledge, you know, the Vedic knowledge, will be revealed to us. So that is actually the process of this spiritual path, spiritual knowledge. So, any questions? So now,
Just mentions, Madhura was referring to Maitreya as wealthy because of his great penances. Maybe could you discuss the significance of penance and devotional service?
Huh?
Madhura was addressed Maitreya in this.
Wealth story. Is penance, yeah.
Maybe you could kindly discuss the position of penance and devotional service.
Yeah. The penance is that in our case, so this is called Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, the penance that we do is very simple. You know, we have this four regulatory principles, and these are our penances. In other words, you know, we don't try to indulge in bad habits like intoxication and the unnecessary wastage of time like gambling. And this is just wastage of time. This is not the qualities of noble men. This is just common sense. You know, it's all bad things. To get involved with this drinking, intoxication, and unnecessary, you know, relationship with women, and then this meat eating. These are four penances. These are called regulative principles. So this is the only penance that we have to maintain. It's not very hard. And say, rather it is the simplest penance that you can think of. And so these things we have to maintain very carefully. Not that, we take them lightly, but rather we have to take them very seriously and make sure that, you maintain these principles very properly. So this is the penance that we have. And then when you develop more and more in Krishna consciousness, then you will be wanting to distribute this message to everyone. It's called a Sankirtan force, the Sankirtan process, Jagya. That is another penance. So these are step by step. The penance of be willing to come forward and leave aside everything, all the worldly matters, and just push on this Sankirtan movement. That is also another penance. In fact, that penance is always there. That's our life and soul. And to be able to, put forward or to distribute this message of Krishna consciousness to everyone. That is our ultimate, that is our eternal penance. In a way, just be completely committed, 100% committed, determined to distribute the message of Krishna consciousness to everyone. That is actually the quality of a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means one who is always willing to distribute the message of Krishna consciousness to everyone. That is the definition of a Vaishnava by Bhaktivinoda. So Vaishnava is he who wants to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone. So we should take that as our form of penance that we must distribute. So that way, that is our wealth. The treasure, so we should understand about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and we should be willing to distribute this to everyone, all the living entities. So that will be our guideline, how to be able to develop some penance in devotional life, and also be ourselves situated in that mental frame of mind. But that is very vital, very important. So is that all right? So it's time now for Guru Puja? Jai Guru Srila Prabhupada.
Jai!
Thank you.
Amen.